The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy TGIF Furbulous Friday, everyone. How you doing, Junior?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good, good. I've got Love in studio with me today doing the show. I'm gonna put that my extra set of headphones on him here in a couple of minutes. And
he doesn't make much noise when he's in there. I remember he was in there the other day and we didn't even hear from him.
He's such a good boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to say anything. Do you want to say anything? Do you want to say anything, Love? No, I think I'll be good, Mom. I'm just gonna chill out and hang with you during the show. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to kick off the show with Love's voice.
I'm going to do it every Furbulous Friday. Yeah. I may even turn him into a cartoon character, but he is such a great dog, and he was rescued. You want to tell the story, Love? No, I don't know. Yeah, Mom found me in a Walmart parking lot. I was there. It was terrible. I was there for a month, Junior. A whole month.
He sounds so disappointed. That's where we got one of our dogs at a Walmart parking lot once.
It sucked. Until my mom came.
Yeah, now it's all good.
Oh my gosh, enough love, enough. And he's got his head right. He's almost like up by the microphone.
He's like, what are you doing? I don't even sound like that.
Every time I do that voice, his ears go back. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I love my love. I love all my dogs and all my cats. And they are, I'll read a little quote before we introduce Maura Davies and tell you what the lineup is today. I bought this magazine at, where did I get this? I think I got it at Whole Foods last night. It's the history of pets and how our love of animals has shaped the world. And there's a great quote in the back, and it says this with a picture of a cat. It says, if having a soul means being able to feel love and loyalty and gratitude, then animals are better off than a lot of humans, by James Herriot, a British writer. And I couldn't agree more. Unconditional love. How valuable is that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh my gosh, and I have unconditional love for all animals. I do. And I love having Maura Davies on the show a couple times a month from the SPCA. I'm going to introduce her. Before I do, I want to tell you at the half, we've got Jared Moffitt back. He's been working to change marijuana laws since 2012, and we're going to be talking about the work-related drug testing for marijuana. Is it going away? I don't know. Amazon announced they will no longer be drug testing employees for marijuana, so we're going to talk all about it with Jared. At the half, but Maura Davies has been with the show for a very long time. She is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of Texas. Their website is simply spca.org or on Instagram at SPCA Texas. We're talking about summer pet safety, part two. Maura, how are you doing today?
Doing great, and I hope you're having a wonderful day, and I love that quote. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah,
I know.
And do you like my love voice?
I do. I do love your love voice. Hi, love.
Hey, Maura. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I'll get into a conversation, you know, just pretending I'm him, and I come up with the most comical stuff. But typically I'm drinking a little wine, so maybe that, you know, at night sitting outside on the porch with him. He's just such a great dog. But, you know, summer's here, and we're going to talk about this, about how to keep our pets safe, because it's important. It's important to keep them not just safe but comfortable. You know, you have to keep them comfortable. And so we're going to talk all about this today with Maura. So how important is an early summer vet checkup, Maura, and what do they need to check for?
It can be a very important checkup, especially if your pet is older, younger, they are ill in some way. Always work with your veterinarian to determine the best schedule to have your pet's whole situation, their whole health picture checked up on. Sometimes it's once a year, twice a year, more depending. So your veterinarian is going to look at their weight. They're going to see, okay, how are they doing on flea and tick prevention? How are making sure, you know, you're taking those heartworm preventives regularly? Or your pet is, not you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because heartworm is deadly. It's deadly, deadly.
So, it is.
If they're not on heartworm preventive, got to get them tested, making sure they're negative. There are treatments out there, and they've gotten much better over the years. So the best thing, though, is to prevent heartworm from the get-go. So that's a big one. So if this is the time that you remember because, hey, we're going into a hot time of year or just the seasons are changing, then take advantage of that.
Yeah, there's really only about 2 months a year, I would say, at the most, maybe three, where you don't have to give them, or at least that's how I feel, the HeartGuard medication. I know a lot of veterinarians recommend that you give it year-round, so you're always in the habit of giving it to them. But it can be really expensive, especially right now after a COVID. And so they also sell ivermectin, I did not know this, for horses that you can also, I think, utilize for your own pets. I know somebody that does it that was telling me about it, you know, for like his big dogs, and he doses it, follows the instructions. But that's the active ingredient in HeartGuard. You know, I had to take two of my pets. Butters had to go to the vet, not yesterday, the day before, and Susie, because Susie has not gotten her appetite back after her surgery. And you got to watch them close. They're our babies, you know. And Butters, he's the one that had the blockage, and so wanted to make sure that he didn't have a blockage because he's been peeing all over the house again, and so It's behavioral. So I took him to Dr. Norris. We confirmed that there wasn't an infection or a blockage, and we put him on a medication for a couple of weeks to just kind of, adjust him a little bit. Because, you know, I have a lot of male cats and I have a lot of male dogs, and so there's a lot of competition in the house, but it just goes on,
that's,
you know.
That's important, too.
Yeah, no, it is. Absolutely. What were your thoughts? What were you want to say? What's considering what sex your animals are and how they interact?
Oh, no, just thinking it's so important to have, if your pet is having a behavioral, something that is behavioral, if you don't know if it's behavioral, to get that checked out, to make sure, to rule out, especially for male cats, but also female cats. To rule out urinary tract infection, because that can be common. Some people will get frustrated and say, oh, I just can't keep this pet anymore because they're going all over the house. Well, there's things that you can do. Don't give up. Sometimes it is that urinary tract infection. Sometimes it is behavioral. And there are absolutely things your veterinarian can help you with on both.
Oh, absolutely. And Dr. Norris, Dr. Jimmy Norris, he's on the east side of town, you guys. He's been my longtime vet. He's just so good. He's just so good. He really is. And I just love him to pieces, but he does such a great job. Okay, so let's talk about having shade available for our pets, why it is so important, and how to keep our pets cool this summer.
Yes, indeed. Okay, this is key. So it's the age-old rule. If you're uncomfortable, they're uncomfortable. If it's a million degrees outside and you walk outside, you're like, man, I got to get in the shade. Your pet is going to probably have the same reaction. So make sure that for any season, really, but in the summer, you want the ventilation to be a part, and for winter, too. But in summertime, make sure there's shade. Your pet has that shade. They can seek refuge if they can't be inside. In the heat of the summer, please bring them in. You can make sure that they have water at all times. Make sure that the bowl you put that water in is not something that's sitting in the sun. It's not going to heat up. So plastic can be a really great option. Metal, not so much. It'll heat the water up. So there are lots of little details to think about. So if you have a doghouse and it's well ventilated, That can be fine too. Just shade, ventilation, lots of water. Those are key.
Lots of water. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And lots of water, just like it does with humans, keeps your pets healthy too, and especially their urinary tract. So they're, you know, they're peeing a lot and keeping everything good, right?
Totally. Oh my gosh. And there are water fountains for pets out there that some pets love. My cat has a water fountain. Opal just adores her water fountain. It keeps her so well hydrated because it's engaging for her. It stimulates her brain, and she just, like, it's her BFF.
Yeah, no. Well, there's lots more to talk about. I love doing this because, you know, we all need gentle reminders. You know, we just do. So we'll be right back, everyone. More coming up with Maura Davies and Love. We'll be back, too. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. TGIF, it's Furbulous Fridays here at One Life Radio, brought to you by Castor and Pollux, one of the greatest dog food companies out there, really, with the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful foods using sustainably sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. You can find them at KestorPollux.pet.com. It's a new standard in pet nutrition, and we're happy to have them as a sponsor. It's a great company, you guys. I've been feeding it to my dogs for years, and welcome back to One Life Radio. We're continuing on with Maura Davies talking about summer pet safety part two. So, you know, Maura, we talked about water right before the break. How much water do our pets need in the summertime?
Well, it depends on the pet. So if you have a giant St. Bernard, he or she is going to need more water than a little guy. It really, you want your pets to be able to self-regulate, but they're going to need a lot of water. So if you, rather than having the reason I'm kind of fumbling is I hate to recommend for people to say like, oh, they might need, you know, X gallons. What you really need to do is make sure your pets just have a readily available source of water. Mm-hmm, so, I mean, there are all kinds of rules about how many ounces of fluid per body weight, and people can absolutely get with their veterinarian about what is the right exact amount for their pet. But active dogs are going to need even more than that. So nursing mothers are going to need more than that. Puppies drink more than adult dogs. So the best answer is it really depends, and make sure you keep that fresh supply coming, that it's not gross or green or moldy. In the summer, consider putting ice cubes in there.
Nice, that too. Well, and Tom and Willie. Tom and Willie that are back in the doggy condo, you know, in the back of my property, that I get them out a couple times a day, but, you know, they still haven't incorporated or mixed with my other big male dogs. They're all, you know, competing with one another. But I have two dog bowls in there. And so there's always a backup bowl, if you will. And they're both real big metal ones, but they're inside. They're not sitting out in the sun. They have a nice little setup back there. I even put a little lamp in there now. You know, like a little table lamp next to their radio.
Yeah.
I think they're on 1190 right now listening to the show, actually. that's important too, right? You know, if you know you're going to be gone for hours and hours, you got to give them a little entertainment, something to listen to. I mean, they're social creatures. They get lonely just like we do, right?
They absolutely can. So yeah, some pets love watching TV. Some pets prefer the radio and adore it. Some people leave either of those or specific movies on for their pets. And some pets kind of don't. They do their own thing, like especially a lot of cats. They know they're sitting look out the window at kitty cat TV, just, you know, seeing if any birds fly by. So giving your pet options is really important. Some pets love companionship. Others don't. Some people have the mistaken impression that cats are loners and dogs aren't. Well, cats are social creatures, too. They're just they have different behaviors than dogs. You know, one quick reminder, people are people, dogs are dogs, cats are cats. We all have different behaviors and different expectations.
Oh, my gosh.
You
got to
work with what you got.
Yeah, you do. I have a little cat. Her name is Beans. She looks like a black bean, so we named her Beans. Oh, my gosh. She gets up. She loves to cuddle with me at night. It's remarkable how sweet they are. People, you know, people don't that don't really understand cats don't really understand, like you said, how social they really are. They love to be loved just like anything else, right?
Definitely. And you know, a lot of the misperceptions out there, maybe that maybe some of that stems from cats who do not receive socialization early on. They're always going to be pretty reticent. There's a lot of that behavior they can gradually, potentially over time, really learn to trust people. But that can go for a dog too, or heck, even a person. You leave us out and you don't give us any attention, we're going to get pretty sad and lonely and maybe even a little bit mad.
No, absolutely. It's important. If you're going to have a pet, you've got to give it attention. You do. So it's important. Well, let me ask you this to switch gears a little bit. We were talking about, you know, overheating in pets. What are some of the symptoms of overheating in a pet?
Oh, this is a really important one because, when a pet gets overheated, heat stroke can come on super fast. So if you notice your pet is excessively panting, if they're having difficulty breathing, and one way to tell this is, will they drink water? If your pet is just panting so much and they're just really going to town and they're not going to drink water, that's not a good sign. So increased excessive panting, difficulty breathing can lead to increased heart rate, respiratory rate. If you see them drooling, if they seem weak, if they seem kind of confused, or if they just collapse, it's getting toward the scary side of things. You're gonna want to get to your veterinarian pretty darn quick. And if you see things like seizures or bloody diarrhea or vomit and an elevated body temperature over 104 degrees, I mean, that's so far past your warning signs. That's into the danger zone that you gotta get to your vet, get them cool before then.
Well, and what do you think about, you know, parents that say, well, we can get a pet, but it's your responsibility to a kid. You know, I have some conflicting feelings about that. I do think it's important for children to have pets. However, I don't think it should be their responsibility. They need supervision. And I'll give you case in point. So my nephew came to live with me one summer back years ago when I lived in upstate New York. And he was about 14. Okay. And he begged, he begged and begged me, can I get a hamster? Can I get a hamster? I'm like, okay, Richard, we'll go get a hamster. Got the hamster cage. She named it Helen the hamster. Well, he forgot to give Helen water and she dehydrated and died. You know, and I was like, are you sure you're going to, and I was young. I was in my 20s. I was his aunt, you know what I'm saying? But I just, I didn't think to check for the water either. I'd never had a hamster before. So you do have to almost tag team it, right? If you're going to give a child the responsibility of a pet, you must check that whether or not they're, you know, being responsible, right?
Oh, I totally agree. I've been a mom for 16 years and I've worked for the SPCA of Texas for 20. And with both of those hats firmly on my head, I tell you right now, yes. Not only is adopting a pet the entire family's decision, anyone in the household, but that it is really important to, and just as important to help your children develop responsibility, is making sure that they're getting those jobs done. And that can go for more frivolous things. And I mean, I hate to call doing laundry frivolous, but like laundry, but no one's going to die if you don't do laundry.
Right.
But yeah, it's really important to double check. You know, if their job is feeding the pet, you got to back them up. But it's also really good to give kids, I think, specific jobs and really talk through those expectations. I think it gives the family a really wonderful opportunity to bond with the pet. I mean, these relationships that we have with our pets are so critical to us as when we're kids, when we're adults, learning mm-hmm. empathy, love, respect, kindness. And these are such critical things to learn about. Our pets mm-hmm. teach us so much. They give us so much.
Oh, yeah.
And they really don't ask for a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah. Junior, how's Evie doing?
She's doing good. She's doing really good. Yeah, she's... you know, she's still trying. We're still trying to get her to lose a little bit more weight, but you know, she's doing okay.
Any recommendations, Maura, on the weight loss for pets?
Well, that's a good one too. In the summer, like people will a lot of times go, oh, let's just go exercise and let's hit it hard. Be really careful if you start exercising with a pet in the summer, especially if your dog has a flat face. That can be really, very, very unhealthy and dangerous for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, the right amount of food, the right kind of food, the right amount of exercise. And there's all different ways to exercise the pet too. You can be inside in the air conditioner and you and your cat can be there with a little chase toy. Like there are a million toys out there. I mean, you can experiment to see what your pet likes, and that's exercise too. And it's fun for everybody.
Yeah.
So make it fun, keep it safe, and enjoy the summer. Hopefully everybody can stay cool inside.
Yeah. Love really loves his toys. He's got a stuffed rabbit and a snake and a tiger. And it's funny, like he'll just, you know, they're all over the lawn and he loves them. He does. And I love watching him play with them. And it's great to give him the exercise too and interact with them. And it's they give so much back. Like you say, you know, it's immeasurable. Okay. So let me ask you this. You kind of just touched on it. Certain breeds or dogs are more susceptible to heat than others. You said dogs with a flat face. Is there any other type mm-hmm. of breed of animal that needs extra protection?
Yes. So if you have those, if you have like a pug, a Persian cat with those flat faces, they're called brachiocephalic. That means their little noses are super short inside. They're more susceptible to heat stroke because they can't pant as effectively. Mm-hmm. But they're also, you know, if you have an elderly pet, an overweight pet, a pet with heart or lung disease, make sure you keep them cool in air conditioning as much as possible. They're just going to be struggling a little bit more in the heat, and they mm-hmm. can tip over into heat stroke. Like snapping your fingers is scary.
Yeah, no, and I've got a couple more to cover here before we go to break. Mm-hmm. In and around the house to protect our pets, what can we do? You know, I just had the tragic experience where my dog, Ruby, drowned in my pool 2 weeks ago today, you know, and so it happens. She was older mm-hmm. and just kind of lost her way. I didn't see it. I was tending to Susie. So it happens. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
What are your recommendations around the house, do's and don'ts?
Sure. Yes, make sure you supervise your pets around the pool, any large body of water, especially if they're not a good swimmer. If you have unscreened windows and you open those up and it's the second story, you're not thinking about it, pets can fall out. So keep mm-hmm. unscreened windows or doors closed.
Oh, yeah.
And the adjustable screens are really tightly secured. And I mean, those are two big ones. But in the summertime, if you're doing a little extra cooking and entertaining, especially now that so many people are more able to do so safely, make sure that you keep all those foods and beverages that are poisonous to pets, like mm-hmm. alcohol, chocolate, raisins, grapes, onions, xylitol, all that stuff. Keep those away from your pets. Keep a lid on your trash. And, you know, if we're getting closer to fireworks, let your pets sneak to hide.
Yeah, fireworks, Heavenly Hounds. I'm going to give them another shout out. It's a great company. I use them personally. They're relaxation bars. Okay, what about overspray pesticides on lawns? What about that? Because a lot of people that. They spray the heck out of their lawn, which is bad for the environment, by the way, and your pets and you. And it causes cancer if you're using glyphosate. Proven. Lots of lawsuits out there against Monsanto for it. But what about pesticides?
Really careful.
Yeah,
that is an excellent point. Be so careful. Anything that's poison, keep it away from your pets. Keep it out of their reach. That includes in your yard, in your house. Some people don't realize citronella candles, like those the tiki torch stuff, the oil that you set on fire to have pretty things, like insect repellents, all that can be deadly poisonous to your pets. So keep them out of your pet's reach.
Right. And okay, last but not least, when we groom our pets, right, we should groom mm-hmm. them all in the summertime, you know what I mean? To me, I think that's like you should groom them all year long, of course. But what do we need to consider specifically in the summertime? Anything special?
Well, you know, you can trim your dog's hair, and that's a great thing, and that can help them stay cool, but just don't completely shave your dog, especially if they're going to be outside.
Yeah.
Their layer of their coats protect them from sunburn and also overheating, because remember, dogs don't sweat like us. They sweat through their paw pads a little, but mainly by panting. And I'm dead serious here. You may need to put sunscreen on your dog if he's going to be outside. I say this from experience. I had a sweet golden retriever. He, bless him, he was the most darling, sweet boy, but he really liked to go and just lay in the sun. And so even if I was reading a book next to him for 20 minutes, he would lay belly up, He got a sunburn one time, so I'm start putting sunscreen on him.
Well, pardon the interruption, Maura. This is love. I love to lay in the sun, so I'm glad you're telling us that.
Yes, love, and make sure your mom knows that you got to use sunscreen specifically labeled for use on animals. That's important too.
I'll be sure to. All right, Maura. This is kind of fun switching voices. Got to have fun though. You get one life, right? One body, one mind, one life, which is what One Life Radio is all about. Okay, so anything else before we go to break?
Just spay and neuter your pets and leave pets in hot cars. Keep them in as much as you can. Enjoy that AC with you.
Yep, and get your ID on them. So if they do get out, you get them back, hopefully.
Indeed.
And absolutely. All right. Well, Maura, always great to have you on the show. Have a fabulous weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Maura Davies, everyone. Check out the website, spca.org. We'll be right back with Jared Moffitt. We're going to be talking about is work-related drug testing for marijuana going away. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my lovin' on the run.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
TGIF, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I love that song, Junior. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. A little Tom Petty in there, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, can never go wrong with that.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of my favorite songs. I always pretend I'm a rock star, like playing the air guitar when it breaks into the really great strumming. But yeah, it's so great to be here, everyone. Thank you for joining us and listening to One Life Radio. We have Jared Moffitt with us today. Again, it's his third time, I believe, on the show. I'm so happy to introduce him. Jared has been working to change marijuana law since 2012 when he was an undergraduate at Brown University, helping to organize students to successfully decriminalize marijuana possession in Rhode Island. He joined the Marijuana Policy Project, or MPP, in 2014 as Rhode Island's political director. Jared helped build an influential statewide coalition regulating Rhode Island with the goal of legalizing marijuana like alcohol. He played a great role, actually, in the 2016 Massachusetts legalization campaign as field director, and he was part of that team's successfully getting past the Michigan's 2018 ballot initiative to legalize marijuana for adults, as well as Utah's 2018 medical marijuana measure. Most recently, Jared has played a central role in the successful 2020 ballot initiative campaign in Montana for adult use legalization and South Dakota for legalization of both medical and adult use marijuana. Their website is mpp.org. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Jared Moffitt, welcome back to One Life Radio.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, yeah. I love talking about this. I do. And so, you know, recently Amazon announced they'll no longer do drug testing. So let's talk about this. Our topic is work-related drug testing for marijuana. Is it going away, Jared?
Well, I think this is a huge step forward, and it's an issue that's been, you know, part of our discussions for several years now. But I think what it is a sign that, you know, businesses are realizing, hey, you know, do we really need to be handicapping ourselves because we're so concerned about, you know, our employees' lawful off-the-clock cannabis use? And I think that, you know, I suspect a lot of businesses have run into issues, especially now, you know, when there's difficulties hiring, that they're reevaluating their drug policies and saying, you know, do we really care whether someone, you know, smokes a joint on the weekend? I don't know that that makes them a bad employee. Yeah, I think it's a very encouraging sign. I expect a lot of other companies will follow suit.
Yeah. Do you have an opinion about this, Junior? What do you think about this topic today?
I mean, I think if alcohol, like if you can go out and get drunk on the weekend, I don't see why it's not okay to go out and have, you know, and smoke a little bit on the weekend too. I mean, if it's not affecting your job and you're not showing up, if like the company doesn't want you showing up to work under the influence and you're not, and it's not affecting what you're doing, I don't see a problem with what you do outside of work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm sure you agree, Jared. I mean, the Regulate Rhode Island, that's what it was all about, the goal of legalizing marijuana like alcohol. Alcohol is so incredibly destructive, much more than marijuana, right? And, you know, they call it the gateway drug. I don't agree with that. I think alcohol is the gateway drug.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and there's actually some, you know, evidence, more evidence coming out that for a lot of folks, cannabis can be an exit drug. It can be a way for, if you're addicted to, you know, opioids, for example, there's a lot of evidence that it can help people stop using those other substances. So yeah, definitely agree. And, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot if you live in a legalization state, but you could lose your job, right? If you test positive for cannabis, you know, it's not really exactly legal, or at least that doesn't mean very much if you can't have a job. So we need these policies, and it's an encouraging sign that such a big company is taking the lead on this.
Well, you know, Jeff Bezos didn't get where he is by being stupid. I mean, you know, the guy's one of the sharpest businessmen out there, if not the sharpest. But I mean, it only makes common sense because, like you said, there's a shortage of workers right now. And you know, workers make the rocket go up, especially at Amazon. They have to have thousands and thousands of workers to deliver their goods on time. And so it only makes perfect sense. And, you know, I would think that Jeff Bezos also probably thinks it's really none of their business. It's none of a company's business, no more than it is if you go home and pour yourself a couple glasses of wine at night, right? As long as you show up for work and do your job. Well, so, you know, yeah. What would you like to say about what I just said?
Yeah, no, and I think that this is also a part of a larger change in our culture where, you know, these older, you know, baseless stereotypes about, oh, people who, you know, consume cannabis, marijuana are, you know, lazy or they're, you know, they're not good workers. I mean, Carl Sagan was, you know, famous for talking about his cannabis use. You know, there's plenty of athletes who have, you know, talked about their cannabis use. And so there's I think, a more awareness right now that, you know, it's not for everybody. And again, we're not a pro-cannabis organization. We're not going around saying people should be using this. But I think that, you know, part of what we have done in changing the laws is also changing perceptions of people who use cannabis. And it's becoming more, again, like alcohol, where it's like, yeah, there's plenty of, you know, functioning, contributing citizens who, you know, choose to relax with alcohol. And the same is true for cannabis. And that doesn't disrupt their life or, you know, hurt anyone else. So we shouldn't have an issue with it.
Well, you know, let's talk about the mission of the MPP. What is the mission of the Marijuana Policy Project?
Yeah, our mission is really simple. I mean, we want to see a world where, you know, people with medical needs have safe legal access to cannabis. And we want to see a world where, you know, no one is arrested or put in jail or given a criminal record for, you know, simply possessing or using cannabis. So, you know, our mission is to change laws. And we think that by changing cannabis laws, we can improve lives. So that's our mission in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, you know, the announcement also with Amazon, the support of the MORE Act. Can we talk about that? What was included in the MORE Act, and why does it come up for when does it come up for a vote? Sorry.
Yeah, so the MORE Act was previously introduced in the last Congress, and so this is, it's being put out again in the House by the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, and it's a legalization measure. So essentially it says, the federal law is going to be amended so that cannabis is no longer a Schedule I drug. It's no longer subject to federal prohibition. It doesn't tell states that they have to, legalize cannabis necessarily. It just allows states to set their own policies without any fear of, federal conflict or any type of interference from the federal government. So that's, kind of the main piece of it. But there's also a really huge focus in the MORE Act on social equity and expungement and, addressing the harms of decades of criminalization and mm-hmm. We know that the war on drugs and cannabis has been a huge part of that, has ruined lives and disproportionately affected low income communities, people right. of color, historically kind of marginalized communities. And so the MORE Act is an attempt to not just, allow federal legalization to move forward, but also to put in place provisions that address some of those past harms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one should be in jail for possession. It's almost ludicrous, really, that still right. continues to go on in different parts of the country. In Newsweek and some other outlets covered a cannabis tax revenue report. Can we talk about that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So MPP did a report, and we basically just went to, each state that has passed a legalization law and that has a regulated market. You can, if you dig around, you can find, published statistics about how much revenue those states have generated. So we did, kind of a deep dive and compiled all the numbers from the different states that have legal cannabis markets. And yeah, we found in 2020 alone, $2.7 billion in combined wow. revenue from states in just 1 year. And the total that we've seen since 2014, which is when sales began in Colorado and Washington, is about $8 billion. So, mm-hmm. And the other thing that we're using this to good effect with, legislators and states that haven't passed these laws, showing them that these policies work. And they can see that, whether it's Washington or Colorado or Oregon, every year, the revenue only goes up. So it's not like, there's some type of initial frenzy and then there's a collapse. It's, they see that the system is working because more people are sort of switching over from the illicit market into the legal market. And I mm-hmm. think that gives lawmakers a lot of confidence that this is, again, a smart policy. And obviously, extra revenue, who doesn't love that?
Absolutely.
So,
well, and
yeah,
we need it.
We're happy that that got exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We absolutely need it. And if marijuana was to become federally legal, we would be able to grow it and sell it to China and other countries, right? We have a lot of land in America to grow.
That's yeah. right. I mean, it's a little bit of a historical nerdy factoid, but we used to have one of the world's best hemp industries. I mean, it was the envy of the world.
Yeah.
This was over a century ago, and with the prohibition of cannabis, we sort of just wiped that all out, and we've got a lot of catching up to do, frankly, mm-hmm. because the hemp market globally is actually dominated by countries like China and Canada. Yeah. We've kind of lost our place, but I think, mm-hmm. yeah, we can reclaim that, and we can actually go beyond hemp and potentially be, a world leader in the cannabis market as well.
Yeah. Oh, so much going through my head. So many questions I want to ask. I'm looking at the clock though. We have to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. Everyone, more coming up with Jared Moffitt from the Marijuana Policy Project. You're listening to One Life Radio.
On the lane. sexy and real. Hey. Saying she been peeping and I dig the last video. Somewhere never look ago. How could I tell her no? Measurements was 36, 25, 34. Yelling. I like the way you brush your hair. And I like those stylish clothes you wear. I like the way the light hit the ice and glare. And I can see you moving way over there. If you wanna go and take a ride with me, we three wheeling in the four with the dozies. Oh,
follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Oh my gosh. My phone and my email is blowing up from this topic. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior and Jared Moffitt. He is the director of the Marijuana Policy Project, and we're talking about is work-related drug testing for marijuana going away and a lot of other things about, you know, cannabis and marijuana. Okay, so Jared, you know, let me ask you this. As states move to legalize marijuana, you know, people push for justice for those impacted by the war on drugs. What do you think should happen to those that are imprisoned or on parole or even probation for marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge topic. And I think that, you know, it just defies any sort of moral common sense that we should continue punishing people for activities that we're now legalizing. I mean, mm-hmm. when, you know, someone has an arrest record for cannabis or marijuana possession, that doesn't go away once they, you know, serve their sentence or pay all their fines. They have a record that employers can see, that landlords, if they're trying to rent an apartment, can see. If they apply for educational loans, it can come up. So there's all sorts of ways that we, you know, people carry around this sort of scarlet letter of a criminal record for marijuana. So that's, you know, number one is we have to expunge and clear and seal those records so that those cannabis offenses in the past don't continue to follow people around. I think the other thing that's really important is we have to recognize that, you know, cannabis criminalization has disproportionately affected and harmed certain communities. And I think it's fair and again, morally common sense to say we should also have legalization benefit those communities that were harmed the most. So in making sure that people can access the jobs that are created from the industry, making sure they can be owners of marijuana businesses, you know, creating programs to invest tax revenue that, you know, supports programs in those communities. So there's a whole host of policy ideas, and I'm really happy to see that there's a renewed and really vigorous discussion in the, you know, movement about how to address those types of issues.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking of a friend of mine who lives in California who once told me, I believe this to be the truth, I haven't read it in a couple of years, but the reason that marijuana was criminalized in the first place was because that the cotton growers, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, at the time, there was lobbyists that wanted to proliferate, if you will, the cotton industry, and hemp was one of their biggest competitors, you know, for hemp, right? And so is there any truth to that? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's there were multiple factors going on at the time. I mean, but yeah, I mean, I think there's reason to believe that that played a role, you know, competition with the hemp industry. I think it's also, you know, at the end of the alcohol prohibition era, there were all these, you know, agents who had been working to, you know, kind of, you know, break up alcohol producers. And a lot of them were sitting around like wondering, what do we do now? Now the alcohol prohibition is over. And yeah, there was definitely that, and, you know, a guy named Harry Anslinger, if you Google him, you know, he comes up as kind of the number one villain in terms of initiating the drug prohibition laws that, you know, he used racist tropes, essentially, to convince Americans that, you know, drugs were these dangerous things that needed to be stamped out. And that was really the genesis of it, and it was ramped up in the 70s by, you know, Nixon and later Reagan. But yeah, it's an interesting story. There are some good books out there about it.
Yeah. What's the best one, do you think?
I'm trying. As soon as I said that, I tried to think of the
name. Well, that's okay.
I,
yeah.
can, Yeah, next time I'm on, I'll have the name of that book that I really recommend. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll read it, and we should cover the history of it, because I think that's how you understand and change things, is by understanding the history and how it happened, you know? And I'll say that about vaccines as well. There's a lot that people don't know that aren't well read on the subject, that trust their government to make good decisions for them. And so let me ask you this. So what happens with criminal laws when a state legalizes cannabis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the state has to typically go in and you know, create, you know, new rules around what the penalties are. You know, when we talk about legalization, of course, we're not legalizing everything, right? Like driving under the influence, selling, you know, to minors and so on. There are still offenses that are going to be illegal. So, yeah, essentially every state goes in and says, okay, let's spell out, you know, what is going to be legal and, right, you know, sort of amend where we need to on that, and then create mm-hmm. new penalties or, you know, maintain some penalties for other offenses. So it's a bit of a case by case process mm-hmm. for each state.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock. We're not going to have much time. I only got like probably 30 seconds or a minute. But my final question is this. Many states argue that legalization leads to teen cannabis use. Do you have any findings on this report? And how would they even formulate that, Jared? I mean, what, by arrest? How would they formulate that?
Yeah, they do surveys of teenagers in states, and they've been doing them for years, and now we have data from, you know, literally millions of high school students, and they ask students, you know, what drugs are available, what do you use? And so we do have a lot of studies. One just came out from the federal government and found that, no, legalization has not been associated with any increase in teen use.
Oh,
and that confirms a lot of other studies that have come out recently as well.
Wow. I hear the music. So great to have you on the show. I always love it. It's just such a good conversation to have. And I hope you feel the same way. Yeah. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Jared, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for jumping on the air. And I'm going to kick the field goal, everyone. Remember this. And everybody have a great weekend, by the way. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. You know, read. I would say read. Do lots of reading. It'll improve your life. Have a great weekend, everyone.